Hello and welcome to It's Your Health. For years, my mother struggled with all types of pain and we didn't know what it was for a very long time. And eventually we realized that it was something called fibromyalgia. So I'm so glad to have the wonderful Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum back on the program. He is going to talk about his great book, The Fatigue and Fibromyalgia Solution, The Essential Guide to Overcoming Chronic Fatigue and Fibromyalgia Made Easy. Dr. Teitelbaum, welcome back to It's Your Health.
Lisa, great to be with you.
It's great to have you. Let's start with what is fibromyalgia?
Well, basically, fibromyalgia and its cousin, chronic fatigue syndrome, they're really the same in most people, represents an energy crisis where your body spends more energy than it's able to make, and it essentially blows a fuse, a circuit breaker called the hypothalamus. It can be triggered by hundreds of things, just like you can blow fuses a hundred ways. And it reflects by the key symptoms of being unable to sleep, even though you're exhausted, having widespread pain, and having brain fog. Those are the hallmarks. And basically, if you have those symptoms, especially can't sleep or can't get a good night's sleep, even though you're exhausted, you've got this process.
Now, that is so tough. Now, I love in chapter one, you say why we have a modern day energy crisis, and you list several. The first one is widespread nutritional deficiencies. Can you just go through a few of these for us?
Absolutely. If you take a look at the American diet, about half of our calories have been stripped of vitamins and minerals, basically been stripped of everything but calories. White flour is 18% of our diet. We get 140 to 150 pounds of sugar added to our diet each year in food processing, another 18%. And then you look at the fats that are thrown in. So it's the first time in human history that we're seeing people being both obese and malnourished at the same time. The way that the RDA committees seem to be working to set the guidelines for what they call the RDAs, or what I call the ridiculous dietary allowances.
I agree.
If they find that, well, people just are getting horribly deficient and not getting enough, they say, well, just lower the RDA. It's kind of like when we eliminated poverty by just saying, oh, well, you know, you're not in poverty unless you're making $5,000 less than you were before.
It's so true.
It just gets absurd. Instead, we need to be looking at what the optimal levels are, and that's what the book does for the different nutrients. We're also getting sleep deprived. Until 130 years ago, the average night sleep in the United States was 9 hours a night. And then light bulbs came on the scene, and then radio, TV, computers, Facebook, tweet, all these other things that keep people awake. And we're now down to an average 6¾ hours sleep a night. That's a 30% pay cut. In addition, we now have 85,000 new chemicals that have been added to our environment in the last 150 years. And the list goes on, but those are some of the key ones.
Yeah, it's so scary. You know, I'm so strict about my sleep schedule and my daughter's sleep schedule. And I think sometimes people think I have three heads. Like they'll say, oh, do you want to go to dinner? We can go at 8. I'm thinking, I go to bed at 9. I'm not going to go out to dinner at 8. And my daughter will be invited to things in the evening. And I'm like, she goes to bed at 7. They're like, 7? That's so early. And I'm like, she's a kid.
Isn't it funny? I mean, people think that you're a sleep glutton if you're getting 9 hours of sleep, which is the average nights. I remember when I was on with Dr. Oz and with Lisa, your counterpart, Lisa. And, you know, she was like so relieved to hear that it's not abnormal to get 9 hours of sleep a night.
I love it. If I can get it, I love it. So let's talk about when somebody starts feeling fatigue, or what is it? There's when you say the fatigue and fibromyalgia solution for people who haven't read the book, are you talking about chronic fatigue? And if so, how does that differ from fibromyalgia?
Well, this book, my earlier book, From Fatigue to Fantastic, is written mostly for people with chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia. This book is written for those with day-to-day fatigue as well. We talk about even people who feel pretty good but just want more energy, how to use what they call the SHINE protocol to really turbocharge energy production. And then we have what's called SHINE intensive care for those people who have fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome, the most severe form. So this is really for anybody who wants more energy. And day-to-day fatigue is so different, even though they're both an energy crisis. In fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome, you've blown a fuse. And that means not just that you're tired, but you can't sleep, your brain doesn't work, your metabolism doesn't work, your immune system doesn't work, autonomic system doesn't work. It's kind of like having a horrible flu that never goes away. So they're not the same things, even though the approach to both is to optimize energy production.
Yeah, and we're going to get to that. I want to talk about some of these things that we can do to help. But you ask a great question in the book. So why do I have pain?
Well, see, here's the interesting thing that people don't realize, Lisa. Muscles are like a spring. They naturally get stuck in the shortened position. They take energy, much more energy from muscle to relax than to contract. It's counterintuitive, but it's what the biochemistry shows. So when you don't have enough energy, your muscles get locked in a shortened position, and that's why you'll have pain, and you'll find these tender knots where the belly of the muscle has bunched up in the middle of each of the muscles. So you can release the muscle in all kinds of ways. You can do massage, you can do trigger point work, you can do acupuncture. But until you restore energy metabolism, that muscle is just going to go right back down to the shortened position. So you may get a chiropractic release. It feels better for a couple of days. But unless you also give the energy to the muscle, it's going to go right back into being short and hurting again.
Oh, okay. Now, when you talk about the treatment protocol, you've got sleep, hormonal deficiencies, infections, nutritional deficiencies, and exercise is able. So we've talked a bit about sleep. I'd love to talk about hormonal deficiencies. I'm in perimenopause right now, and I am miserable. I just got to put it out there.
It's
yeah, well, okay, help me. And many others out there who I hear from who are also having trouble.
It's optional, you know. The funny thing is that, or not so funny, is that people become estrogen and progesterone deficient 5 to 12 years before their periods stop and the blood tests become abnormal. So the doctors say you're totally fine during that time, which is absurd. And the nice thing is that by using bioidentical hormones, there's many ways to approach it. Bioidentical hormones, I find, and the research suggests, are very safe, very effective, much better tolerated, but they have a problem. They're not patentable, and therefore they're much cheaper. And because of that, the drug companies convinced physicians that, you know, to use the expensive patentable synthetics, which are poisons, frankly.
Now, is this something that you do with your clients or patients?
I absolutely will use it, and I'll give an option. Now, not everybody needs the hormones. Chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, they're more likely to. But the day-to-day fatigue person may just find that they want to take a handful of edamame each day, which is soybean pods that naturally raise your estrogen. Or you may want to use black cohosh, such as remifemin, which is an herb that after a couple months will stop the hot flashes. So there's a lot of ways to approach it, and there's not a one-size-fits-all for everybody.
Now, what about estrogen dominance? I hear that can be common at this time during perimenopause.
And progesterone dominance, and it goes back and forth. In general, if you tend more towards anxiety, the argument is that you're progesterone deficient. If you tend more towards depression, that you're more likely to be estrogen deficient. Some people are both anxious and depressed, suggesting that it gets more complex than just that. But it's really okay to tailor the dosing of the bioidentical hormones. So we're using much, much lower doses than have been used even 10 years ago to get the best effect for that person.
So are you finding that during these perimenopausal, menopausal years that women are presenting more with the fatigue and the fibromyalgia, and then putting them on a bioidentical hormone is able to alleviate some of their issues?
Absolutely. And because you'll find that people will have things like they may have had thyroid problems that are moderate, and they may have had yeast overgrowth that are moderate, nutritional deficiencies. So they're kind of the walking wounded. And then the estrogen deficiency comes and pushes them over the edge. But an additional thing is for women, testosterone deficiency is also a big problem. And it's not only a male thing. And research has shown that giving just low doses of testosterone in women with fibromyalgia can markedly decrease their pain.
Then a woman obviously needs to get her hormones checked out. Now, do you do the blood tests, and are yours different where you actually do find the deficiencies, where you said you go to your regular doctor and they're like, you're fine, even though you don't feel fine?
Yeah, let's explain to folks what normal means on a blood test and where it comes from, because most doctors don't know. The normal range comes from you take 100 people, you do the test, and the 95 in the middle are defined as a normal range. It's called two standard deviations, blah, blah, blah. But that's how it is. So if I wanted a normal range for shoe sizes, I would take 100 people walking by in the mall, and I'd have a normal range of, say, 4 to 13. If a couple of babies came by in strollers, the normal range might be as low as 2 to 13 or 1. So say I live in Hawaii, and we leave our shoes at the door so we don't track the volcano into the house. And say we got our shoes mixed up at a party. And now you're wearing my size 13, and I'm wearing your size 8s. and you go to the shoe doctor, and you say, "Doc, the shoe's too big, it's falling off." And he says, "No, Lisa, size 13, it's in the normal range. No problem with the shoes." And I go in with my size 13 foot and your size 8 shoe, and, you know, the doctor would look at me and say, "Jacob, it's size 8. It's smack dab in the normal range. There's nothing wrong with your shoe." And I say, "My toe can't get on the dang thing." And he'd say, "The test is normal. You're crazy." He'd imply that. And this is what's happening with hormonal testing in general. So, you know, it's a much better thing to understand that the test is where in the general population you are. So if you're low normal, you might be in the lowest 5% of the population. But the way you tell if you need it is by the symptoms. If your fatigue, achiness, insomnia, headache, brain fog are worse around your cycle, around the menses, when your estrogen and progesterone are the lowest, that suggests that you need a trial of bioidentical hormones to see if you feel better. If for thyroid, if you're tired, achy, weight gain, cold intolerant, if you have two of those symptoms, you deserve a trial of thyroid hormone, almost regardless of what the blood tests show. The thyroid blood test, especially the TSH, is arguably one of the most deadly, useless tests in the history of medicine. It is that bad. It probably, using that test, has been suggested that it contributes to upwards of 1 million preventable deaths, or at least 500,000 preventable deaths each year.
Wow. I have to say, your analogy was absolutely brilliant. I interview people all the time, and that analogy was so spot on. And what you just said about the thyroid is pretty shocking, because I've heard other doctors just, you know, talk about it lackadaisical. I think it's no big deal. And tell us what makes it so bad.
Yeah, well, Lisa, next time you go to the doctor and you're feeling low thyroid and the doctor says the test is normal, you're fine, pull out a size 4 shoe. Tell the doctor, "This shoe is in the normal range. Please wear it to our next visit and then let's talk."
You're like my favorite doctor ever. No offense to everybody else I've interviewed. No, seriously, you are. Okay, here's the other question. Do you work with people in other states? Because I, like, as soon as we hang up, I'm like, "Can I have an appointment, please? Because I really need some help."
I treat people from all over the world. Right after this call, I'll be doing a phone consultation with the Allen South America. So, And for most, I recommend a 3-hour to 4-hour phone consultation. If people have just day-to-day fatigue, an hour is fine. But for chronic fatigue syndrome, 3 to 4 hours. And the thing is that I'm also, beginning September 1st, I'm launching the Fatigue and Fibromyalgia Practitioner Network.
Oh,
my goal is to train 500 to 1,000 practitioners worldwide. We have an online training course that's near completion. And this way people will be able to go to somebody nearby and who knows what they're doing. So we're doing everything we can to make people available. You'll find that there's doctors in your area in the coming year.
All right. Terrific. All right. So the next thing on the individual treatment protocol, we had sleep, hormone deficiencies. Let's talk about infections.
Well, for day-to-day fatigue, the most important number one infection would be candida or yeast overgrowth. But because there is no test for it, medicine says it doesn't exist. It's kind of like a little baby that covers its eyes and says, "I'm invisible now." And, you know, it's funny, in medicine we see lupus used to be considered a disease, just a neurosis in women. And then suddenly there's a test for it, and millions of women went from being neurotic to having a disease. Multiple sclerosis used to be called hysterical paralysis until there's a test. Then it suddenly became multiple sclerosis. Candida, if you have a vaginal candida infection and you have a massive discharge and the doctor says it's normal, you're likely to take that size 13 shoe and whack them upside the head because there's obviously something going on there. But if it's inside the gut where they can't see it, and they can't tell normal from overgrowth, then, well, there's no test. It doesn't exist. But what people need to know is that the most common cause of irritable bowel syndrome or spastic colon, and also for chronic sinusitis, would be candida overgrowth. And you treat it by starving the little buggers. They ferment sugar. So you cut sugars out of the diet. It doesn't have to be absolute, but just Now, get rid of that. You know, if you have one of those 48-ounce Big Burp sodas from the local Quickie Mart, that's 36 spoons of sugar, folks. Do not pour that down your throat unless you want a fermentation tank going on in your gut. And fermentation tanks make what? A lot of gas. And there you have the spastic colon. So, again, knocking out the candida, the symptoms are the way you tell. Irritable bowel syndrome, gas, bloating, diarrhea, constipation, post-nasal drip, sinusitis. I will treat for the yeast. And you'll see after 6 weeks on the Diflucan, a good probiotic, and cutting out the sugar, people go, oh, my God, all these problems that I had went away. There are some people who are resistant to Diflucan and the standard antifungals, and there are newer ones that can be helpful. There's a host of herbs that can be helpful. There's a lot that can be done. The good news is that most people don't need to be on this strict candida-free diet. They just need to be on a sugar-free diet. So the diet recommendations have simplified considerably.
Now, when you say sugar-free, does that mean fruit as well, or are berries or low-fruit sugar okay?
You can have fruit. Just don't have fruit juice. If you have a 16-ounce orange juice, that's 12 spoons of sugar. You'd have to eat 8 oranges to get that. You want to sit down and have 8 oranges? Be my guest. Most people won't do that. So enjoy the fruit. Bon appetit. But leave out the juices. Leave out the sodas. Leave out the, you know, sugar pop cereals. You know, if you're having your ice cream, they have sugar-free ones that are stevia, are Splenda sweetens that are very good. If you need a sweetener, again, stevia, if you get the wrong brand, which most of them are, it will taste like bitter licorice, and you can say, I am never going to do that again.
So what are the right brands? Do you know? Because I could use some. Okay, go ahead.
I'm all Body excited. Ecology has a great liquid one. The phone number is 1-800-4-STEVIA. It's a clear liquid. It's the one my wife and I have used for over 10 years.
Did you say Body Ecology?
Yes. And I'll tell you two other ones. We have Truvia and Purvia. Even though they may be made by the devil, I shouldn't say that, but, you know, they're made by Cargo, Coke, and Pepsi folks. It's a really good thing, and they know how to make things taste good. And so it's a healthy, good sweetener.
Are there certain brands of vitamins or supplements you like? There's so many out there, and I love for my listeners to be able to just go to the store and, like, pick something and have a name. And what
okay,
do you
let
like?
Let me give you my top 5 or 10. If you're looking for sleep, there's a mix of 6 herbs called the Revitalizing Sleep Formula. It's by Enzymatic Therapy. You can get it virtually any health food store. We have it at endfatigue.com. 2 to 4 of those at night. Most people with insomnia will be sleeping like puppies. Lavender, the smell of lavender will help sleep. You can get it in a capsule called Calm Aid. We don't have that one on the website, but most health food stores will have that. For hormonal support, iodine. We are seeing a recurrence of the old iodine deficiency epidemic. So try iodine, simply 6 1/4 milligram. You don't need more. 1 a day for 3 months. A lot of people will find that their thyroid symptoms clear up. For those of you with low adrenal, if you get that irritability when hungry, You know that thing where, you know, you say to your honey, I'm hungry, I got to eat, and he says, there's a nice restaurant a half hour up the road, and you look at him in the eye and say, you will be dead by then, low adrenal. So that, and you'll see people in marriage counselor's office, divorce attorneys, because the low sugar will drive the moods off the wall. Just there's a product called Adrenal Stress End. You take 1 or 2 a day after about a week. It has licorice, adrenal glandulars, the other nutrients your adrenal stress handler gland needs. It'll smooth those right out. And you'll find that you and the people around you will be very thankful.
Yeah, you know, I've noticed my irritability is so much worse. My PMS has never been so bad. Like, normally I'm a pretty happy-go-lucky. I want to kill everybody. I'm just miserable. And I make everybody around me miserable. And I never did until perimenopause. So again, that's another thing, right?
If you're having PMS where it's irritability, not the fatigue, insomnia, headache, you want progesterone, natural bioidentical progesterone.
That's what I've been told. Okay.
Called Primitrium for the week or two before your cycle. You want to get evening primrose oil or borage oil. They're the same except one's about the tenth of the cost of the other. All of this stuff, by the way, if you have an iPhone or an Android, we have an app called Cures A to Z. About 2 million people have downloaded it at this point. It has all of these things. You just look it up, and it'll say, here's what it is. Here's how you treat it. real easy. The dosing, the brand, the whole thing. So cures A to Z. We were trying to figure out what to charge. My wife and I were thinking about it. We said, just make it free. Oh, so it's out there. And then a fish oil. Instead of 8 fish oil pills, take 1 Vectomega a day. It replaces the same amount of essential fatty acids as 10 of the fish oil, 8 to 10 without the burps, much cheaper. And you want an energy drink in the morning that will knock your socks off and is healthy energy. The vitamin powder called the Energy Revitalization System Vitamin Powder. You take 1 drink instead of 35 pills. It has everything that you should be getting from the food in terms of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, cofactors from A to Z, except for iron and fish oil. And those are not in there for good reason. But you take the 1 drink a day, and I add 1 scoop of ribose called Corvalin. A recent study of ours showed that ribose increased energy an average 61% of 3 weeks. And think about what that would feel like, Lisa, to have 61% more energy 3 weeks from now. That's my morning energy work drink. I started this morning at 4 a.m. doing radio shows, finishing up articles, doing a bunch of books. If you saw my schedule, it would make your head spin. But simple way to get great, healthy energy. And to make it easy for folks, I hold the U.S. patent for computerized doctor. We made it for people with fatigue and fibromyalgia. On our website, you can go and do the energy analysis program, and it'll ask some questions. It'll go through symptoms. It'll have a place to enter your lab tests if you have those available, although that's not necessary, but it's helpful if you do, and then you can put those in. It will analyze all of that, tell you what's causing your fatigue or even fibromyalgia and CFS, tailor a treatment protocol to optimize your energy. And again, depending on the severity of the fatigue, that's how aggressive the protocol goes. And we used to charge $400 for that, but we told people if they couldn't afford, they could do it for free. And 80%, this is when we had it for fibro, and 80% of people wrote back and said, I'm on Medicaid, I'm broke, I can't do, you know, so we just made it free for everybody.
You are amazing. I know you live in Hawaii, but can you just come move in with me and take me through?
No, but you can come here.
That would be nice. My brother lives there, so I would like to.
Okay. The reason I suspect there's so much variety on the planet of things to eat is because different people have different needs. I know not just do I have different needs myself, I have different needs at different times of my life. If I'm doing heavy work, I need more meat and protein. If I'm on the lecture circuit and doing 16 hours a day traveling, you know, to 1 or 2 different cities each day, I need more. If I'm doing different work, I need more whole grains. Or sometimes I'll be vegetarian if I'm doing other kinds of work. So it really varies from person to person. And I'll see people on these diets where they try to be oh so healthy, and they look like they're sick and ready to die because they're eating a diet they think they should be having, instead of eating what their body is saying makes them feel good. So at the end of the day, what makes you feel good? And, yeah, you could eat, you know, a pound of sugar and feel great for about 4 hours.
Yeah,
and
don't do that.
Out. But what leaves you feeling good overall? Most of the things that taste good and that leave you feeling good are healthy for you. For example, chocolate is a health food.
Definitely. Love it. I get this 90% raw cacao bar. It's so good.
Oh, God. Yeah. But you can even get a good tasting chocolate too, and it'll still be great for you.
Yes, that's true. I do think it tastes good. But yeah, no, I tend to like super dark chocolate. There is you honestly. I just want you to be on the show all the time. But let's go to exercise. We talked a little bit about nutritional deficiencies, but obviously, I mean, I'm just going back to that for a minute. You want to eat a lot of fruits, a lot of vegetables. You want to not eat a lot of crap, like we talked about.
Well, you want to eat a whole foods diet. You want to eat foods that are kind of like they came out of the earth or off the animal or however you're doing it. But by the time you've processed it to the point that it's unrecognizable, and this is a topic for a whole other show, and the main illnesses coming in now are diseases of immune function. You know, cancer is finishing its run, heart disease is starting to go down, diabetes is going up, but immune diseases are skyrocketing, and it's because of food processing.
Yeah, I know. That's why I love, you know, I do the whole foods diet and I just feel so much better. All right, let's talk about exercise as able, because I've heard if you are fatigued or if you have, well, this is something else in the book, but if you have adrenal fatigue, you have to take it easy. So it depends on the type of fatigue, right, in terms of how much you can exercise?
Well, the thing is that normally most people, if you exercise, your body is able to condition so you can do more exercise. But in chronic fatigue syndrome and fibro, you only have so much energy, and instead of conditioning, if people exercise beyond a certain point, they crash, and they're wiped out in bed for the next 2 days. So you need to exercise as able. But if you do no exercise, you're going to decondition, and that is going to drive the fibro crazy. So you want to start with a walking program, preferably outside in the sunshine. Sunshine is good for you, folks. The advice to say avoid sunshine is responsible for over 10,000 deaths a year. It's insane. Do not listen to it. Sunshine is good for you. Avoid sunburn, not sunshine. So go for a walk. And a great exercise tool. It's worth $10,000, but only costs $15. It's a pedometer. Clip it to your belt and see how many steps a day you take, and aim to increase it by 50 steps a day as long as it feels comfortable. After 10 weeks on the Shine protocol, energy is going to be skyrocketing. Then you're going to be able to condition. You want to aim, for most people, for 10,000 steps a day, which is 5 miles. I work out of my home. I remember the first day I clipped on my pedometer, and at the end of the day, I excitedly looked at it to see how many steps I had taken, 683. It was, oh, my God, that's not going to work. So I got out on the walking trail, got myself moving a couple miles a day, and started to build that way. So a simple pedometer, great biofeedback tool.
Oh, that is great. I wish we had more time. You just mentioned the Shine protocol. You have to come back. The book is The Fatigue and Fibromyalgia Solution, The Essential Guide to Overcoming Chronic Fatigue and Fibromyalgia Made Easy. Jacob Teitelbaum, MD, give us your website.
www.endfatigue.com, E-N-D, and then the word fatigue.com.
Okay, and I hope you'll come back regularly because you are a gem.
Lisa, a pleasure.